Before Shopify, were you wondering, where are my sales at? Now you're selling with Shopify, the global commerce platform supercharging your selling. You have no problem selling online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Gary, easy on the cha-ching.
Oh, sorry, but my Shopify sales are through the roof.
Start selling with Shopify today and discover how millions of businesses around the world use Shopify to ignite their selling. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen. Shopify.com/listen.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
This is The Art of Awesome, episode number 205.
So the living in a present that we desire, all of us, really, the ultimate goal for all human beings, really, if we simplify it, is to be present. You know, we want success and accomplishments and financial freedom, just so we don't need to be worried about any of that, that we can be fully with what is present. So what we say about being more present is if we call it, if we look from the perception or from the point of view of the present, that is the only thing that is what we look for is the dissolution or removal of the ongoing script that is happening in our minds.
Hit it!
That's what I'm talking about!
Wait!
Okay, now, from the beginning.
Hit it, boys.
Welcome to The Art of Awesome. My name is Nick Troutman, and I'm a professional athlete, entrepreneur, family man, and adventure seeker. My goal is to share with you stories, knowledge, and inspiration as we continue on the journey together, searching for that secret sauce to producing awesome results in everyday life. Thanks for spending some time with me today, and let's get to it. Welcome back, everyone, to the Art of Awesome podcast. I am your host, Nick Troutman, and this is the show where we search for that secret sauce to success and the difference between the average and the awesome. Today is Monday, so we've got another deep dive interview with you guys. And today, we actually bring back Gilad Carney to the podcast. Gilad was on episode 190, but we bring him back today kind of as a bit of a follow-up, but also really to just dive deep into the art of being present in the moment and how we can be more present in the moment and just live within the moment. And a bit of Gilad's back history, which we kind of just briefly dive into, is the fact that he was a special forces member in the Israeli military. He was also a professional basketball player, and now he's a wellness coach. And it, again, just a phenomenal individual. I really love his mindset, his coaching, his philosophies, and there's a lot that we dive into that helps whether you're trying to be more present, more in the moment within business, within sports, within relationships. So I think you guys are going to get a lot out of this interview and this podcast. So let's go ahead and dive right into it. Here is Gilad Carney. Cool. Well, first off, Gilad, thank you for joining us back here again on the Art of Awesome podcast.
Thank you for hosting me again. I really enjoyed our last conversation, and let's see where you take us this time.
Yeah, well, first off, I wanted to say thank you for mailing me several of your books. I've done almost 200 podcasts, and I think I've asked almost every guest some of their favorite books, and you're one of, if not the only guest to actually mail me several of the copies, so thank you very much. And I've already read and gone through The Heart of Understanding, which is pretty incredible, has some definitely left me with some deep thinking. And before we kind of jump into this episode, I wanted to tell our listeners that, again, this is a little bit of a follow-up episode with Gilad. If you guys missed the first episode, please go back and listen. It's episode 190. But again, for those who haven't heard, we'll just give you a quick, brief recap of Gilad's backstory. And again, please correct me if I've got any of this wrong. But Gilad's got a truly unique story with being part of the Israeli Special Forces, as well as a career in professional basketball, and then now coaching transformational leadership and business, as well as a podcast host of your own, the show called Success is a State of Being. So, kind of getting through all of that, in the past episode, we talked a lot about opposing forces of success and spirituality. And so I thought it would be great to kind of kick it off back there a little bit. And as you said, a little bit before we started recording, kind of untangle some of these philosophies and maybe give some real life examples. So I thought I'd kind of start off with asking and learning a little bit more on your current coaching practice, how you might encourage, whether it be an athlete or a business leader, any sort of peak performer, and how you might implement more spirituality into their drive or goal setting.
First, I think it's important to a little bit simplify what we call spirituality. It can be a little bit of an intimidating topic or a term that for people who didn't grow up around it, or people that did grow up around some kind of spiritual community, especially religious, and got away from it, I see often that from lack of experience, of some kind of experience that wasn't pleasant, there is rejection of this whole concept. Mm. So what we refer to spirituality often is just some non-physical, perhaps, part of our existence, of our nature. If I try to simplify it for myself, really in the most easy way for me to access it, I see it as a form of practice to connect to the nature of myself or the nature of existence. And again, what kind of practice that is, now we can talk about a million different ones. And right. And each living moment can be a practice of that. Mm. So it's not attached to some kind of force or power or external thing that sits somewhere out there or yoga or anything. It's not attached to any of this. It's all of them. Again, I think we said kind of an example about sports last time. Like any kind of athletic movement can be related to sports. So any kind of practice that or living, a way of living that be in alignment with the nature of ourselves, we can perhaps call spirituality. But again, it's a term to just say this is the nature of ourselves, and the nature of ourselves is not physical. So we can tap into that a little bit later in the conversation. But first, it's important to what's important for me is to make it very accessible. There are, you know, endless texts that you need to be certified in things in order to understand. Like all of us learn math in school and history, and hopefully about the environments if we have parents like you who travel a bunch. All of us need to have access to understanding of the nature of ourselves, which again, if we want to call it spirituality, let's call it this way. So that's first. Second, with that, so where I start even before I say let's do this practice or that practice is taking the approach to who we are and to development, a paradigm earlier than what most of us currently looking at. Because right now, a lot of the improvements we are trying to make are from some kind of understanding that who I am is this operating system that's called mind-body with a set of conditioning and thoughts and feelings and behaviors. And where I begin is one step earlier in the exploration of the nature of ourselves, beyond the patterns, beyond the behaviors, beyond thoughts, beyond emotions, beyond experiences, beyond experiences that we go through in our sense organs. So instead of asking what is the experience, is asking who is experiencing it, and we start to inquire about that thing that that is aware or recognize that there is an experience. First, that there is an experience before we give this experience any label. This experience is a human being, this experience is thoughts, this experience is cold or warm or pleasant or unpleasant, before we give it any name. Who is experiencing it? What is experiencing it? In what space, in what physical location is it being experienced? So we to recognize the nature of ourselves, where would we go? To the nature of ourselves, right? Mm-hmm. And there's only one place we can go to. We cannot go to it in a book. We cannot go to it in a teacher even, or a guide, or a coach, even like me. Like, mm-hmm. Someone can facilitate it. Words or guidance or a mentor or a friend or a teacher can help facilitate it. But the only place we can go to recognize our true nature is in our true nature. You ask about how I encourage. First of all, I start with this because there's so much of reconditioning and re-education that needs to happen even on where do we go from here? Let's first recognize it. Who is that person that is trying to get anywhere before we can prescribe anything for its development?
I like how we're diving deep into this right away. This is awesome. I guess, so as we're thinking, or as I'm thinking about this, my thoughts are you meaning we go deep, kind of like inside of ourselves? Like, because even when you're saying it's beyond, you know, experiencing it with our senses, I'm trying to think like, okay, well, if I'm going beyond just experiencing it with my senses, I must be experiencing it trying to use this through like an internal experience, like trying to think about this through the inner self, maybe. Is that more of what you're referring to, or am I missing something off the bat?
So I think you're hinting to the place, but if we recognize that there is some kind of experience, okay, and that what we call experience is something about that we know through our the sense organs and thoughts, right? We have thoughts that are not related to the sense organs, and we have the senses that we recognize different kind of experiences. What we often do in trying to learn about ourselves and even improve ourselves is we go towards the content of the experience. So we'll say, this is a thought, I will change the thought. This is the emotion, I will change the emotion. I'm cold, it's unpleasant, where can I get warm? And we get lost in the content of experience. We label it, we name it, we it's all comparison based. It's all, and so we can call it even judgment based. And we constantly get lost in the content of experience. And thus, with this getting lost, we identify who we are based on what is being experienced. And experience isn't something we control, really. Thoughts arise very naturally. Sensations arise very naturally. So all the nature of is just some kind of passing phenomena of sensations, perhaps. But we never ask who is experiencing the content of experience. So what most of us do is, let's say if there is, we are not in video here, but if we imagine that we look outside towards the experience and inquire about it and try to change it, we turn it 180% towards ourselves. And instead of asking about what is the experience, we ask who is experiencing. In a professional more term, we can call it self-inquiry or non-dual self-inquiry. And when we ask, who is experiencing? Who knows the change of experiences and thoughts and emotions and sensations? There is a component that always knows the changes of all physical phenomena. And the more, in a way, we peel the layers of of sense-based experiences and thoughts, we recognize that there is that component of us that knows of experience, that is aware of experience, we can say, never changes. Because to recognize anything coming in and out of experience, there's something that must be present in order to know it. And that something that must be present to recognize everything cannot be going away or come in for us to recognize it. So we will say it is in more old-fashioned term, we'll say it's eternal, or we'll call it ever-present, or just present. It doesn't have any time component to it. And then if I'll ask you, where is it located? You'll not be able to go to somewhere in your mind body and say it's located right in this place.
Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. It, I can just imagine like it's like trying to say like, where's your soul located? And I'm trying to, as you're explaining this again, I'm thinking in my own experience, like, okay, are you referring to what some people might refer to as the soul, or are you referring to a little bit deeper level, even where someone could refer to it as like one's connection with the entire universe and being and what has always been, and how that each one of us are part of the continuation of the entire universe and entire existence?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it has many names. This thing that is nameless and cannot be defined and cannot be grasped by the human mind. The most, I don't know if the most simple, but maybe non-dogmatic and a bit more modern terms would be awareness or consciousness. Mm-hmm. If we take it to religion, it will be named God. Mm-hmm. If we ask Hinduism, it's Brahman. I don't know, Zen would refer it as some kind of Zen state, many names. Soul can be, I think this is where it gets tricky a little bit, because to soul there is some kind of characteristics, mm-hmm. or attribute, and to the very nature of ourself there isn't.
Right.
What is it? It's present. All that we can name is that it's present. And why? Because we experience anything outside of that present. So the mind gives terms to reality, and it says, I experience the past and I will experience the future. But at no point we've had an experience of past or future. Mm. At no point you've had an experience of past and future. And if so, go there right now.
Right.
So
right.
What we would do, we would go to a thought. Mm-hmm. We'd go to a memory about the past or a thought about the future.
Right.
And then we get lost in the content of thoughts and we think they exist. Mm. But whatever is emerging, whatever is present, whatever is coming into recognition, it's only ever coming in one, we won't call it even time, but in one space, ever-present being.
Interesting.
That's it.
Is that referring to a little bit as well of kind of more focusing on, you keep using the word present, but like living in the now, in the moment, in the present, like, because that is all that we can truly experience. Like what you said, we can reflect maybe on a memory or a thought, but even those can be, we can kind of morph thoughts and memories into, transform them into a little bit of whatever we want. And then the same with projecting into the future, we can dream of something or think of something and you know, create something into the future maybe. But all that we're ever really experiencing is the present moment. And again, that moment is it's ever present. But also, like it's always a continuation of a very new moment, continually, forever, always. And so I'm, yeah, it's intriguing to think about, and man, I'm, it's something that I have a lot of work to do towards improving for sure, is definitely living in the moment.
So I will make two, connected to two things. So first you ask me about how would I encourage, or what practices perhaps we can use. So why that is where I begin is because if this does is not understood, and then that there's some kind of philosophical understanding, but where it's really being understood is experiential. You need to go more and more into that part of you that it is experiencing everything, and become very clear in recognizing it.
Right.
Away from the stories, away from the commentary. Why I start over? Because if this is not understood, so now we will try to make a person or a mind that think that it has a possibility not to be present, and we'll try to train it into being present.
Yeah.
And so. Or development or progression. But if we aim all of these tools of progression, better working on yourself, being more present, if we talk to that part of us that has some kind of false perception of who I am and what reality is, this part will never be able to understand it. There's some kind of bug or false in the perception of most of us, because this has been conditioned to think and believe, that part can never understand the nature of itself. So trying to train a mind that doesn't even understand that there is nowhere to go in a way, it's very limited. So first, in a way, I want to dissolve the perception. So the second thing is like you say, we have a lot of work to do in order to be present. This is in a way where I completely kind of like pull the rug under what we know, because there isn't anything that we can do or need to do in order for being present experience to become more of us. It is who we are. So it's important to do practices of even meditation and mindfulness, which I do at times, but first I want to remove the veil that and the commentary of our character that says there is something for me to do in order to become more of what I or be more present. So if someone tells me I want to be more present, it's not a matter of thought. It's that we need to remove a thought. It's a matter of there's a lack of fundamental understanding that being present is the very nature of our experience, and there's nothing we can do about it for it not to be. Like right now, let's try to make ourselves not present right now.
Right, right. Yeah, I think I mean, you're just, it's always in the present. Everything is in the present. And I guess just once we recognize that and are open to that realization, then maybe it brings us a little bit closer to living in the present as well.
So the living in the present that we desire, all of us, really, the ultimate goal for all human beings, really, if we simplify it, is to be present. You know, even we want success and accomplishments and financial freedom, just so we don't need to be worried about any of that. That we can be fully with what is present.
Yep.
So what we say about being more present is if we call it, if we look from the perception or from the point of view of the present, that is the only thing that is what we look for is the dissolution or removal of the ongoing script that is happening in our minds. The ongoing script that says, I can be not present. Right now I'm not present. Tomorrow this will happen. So, and all of it, but what is all of that? It's thoughts.
Yeah.
that appear and disappear very naturally. What happens that we take ownership on them? So the misunderstanding of self is taking some kind of ownership on thoughts that naturally arise, and it claims that these are my thoughts, and then as it bounds itself to this kind of thoughts, the same thought follow the same thought about the future followed by a thought I am not present.
That makes, gosh, yeah, it makes perfect sense to hear it that way. I'm just trying to think too, like how, so I guess for implementing this into our everyday, as whether you're more in like the peak performance, high performance, athletic, business, any of that kind of like elevation where you're in a lot of ways, like I imagine in your career in basketball or in the special forces that you were regularly living in the moment, in the present. Like, again, I've never been in war, but I imagine that is something that is pretty easy to, you're focused in the situation, in the present, in the moment. And in basketball or in athletics, it's kind of easy to get in there as well. Again, in that, the world of, you know, athletics or anything like that, is it, would you consider it easier to live in the moment versus maybe someone who's in the business world or someone that's, even just trying to, goal set and have like some, you know, big audacious goal or something like that? I'm just trying to kind of like grasp a little bit of how we implement this in the moment experience into more of the experiences in life that maybe aren't as natural to kind of like fall into that living in the moment.
First, I wish I knew all of that when I played basketball. You know?
Yeah.
That would have been probably a different experience.
Do you think it would have helped your performance? Do you think it would have changed anything for you? Or just would have been easier to, I don't know, to just fall into that like flow state or anything like that?
Look, the two maybe main factors that athletes kind of like deal with themselves in how we think we are at the top of our game or not is some kind of lack of confidence or being confident, right? This is for us a very important metric, right, to how we show up. Second, I think a lot of unnecessary effort. And a lot of us are in very close to exhaustion or not, even though we take care of our bodies and in our minds is in a very specific way. It's very not holistic and very not recognizing other parts. And understanding, getting into that understanding of the nature of ourselves in a way pulls these two out of the equations completely. It because this entire experience of even being not worthy, lack confidence, superior, inferior, this entire thing completely dissolves from the recognizing of again who I am at my core. And second, that same part of that, like I said, is part of us that can never understand that present is the only thing. There is a part of us that try to compensate in with hard work about so many things.
It's funny how you say that, because when you were even just talking about how a lot of athletes take care of their body and their mind and stuff, and I'm thinking like, yeah, but the way that you're explaining it sounds way easier than the way that I'm thinking I'm doing it. Like, I feel like I'm like forcing a lot of the time. And even when I'm like trying to be in the moment, I regularly feel like it's still a force, like I'm forcing myself to be in the moment at times versus just allowing myself. Like, it's such a, like, just even saying it, it's like the weight lifted off the shoulders versus like trying to, like, I don't know, force shapes into maybe places that they don't want to be at times.
Right, exactly. Because a lot of it is how we drive or derive not drive, derive our self-worth and then our a lot of there's a lot of ego game in that for us in sports, which not necessarily ego, you know, one versus another, but just the pursuit of it. Why also usually we can only rest peacefully without judging ourselves to be lazy is when we're completely exhausted. Because when the ego is completely exhausted, it's almost the only time it can rest down without judging itself, because it says, at least I put everything in.
It
cannot take full rest when it feels great and say, you know what, I take rest because I care for myself, not because I hit a wall. So they're just kind of a mechanism that in a way always drives itself to destruction. We see it very evidently right now. If we look in a little bit more global scale, we look very clearly in how the environment is right now and the social reality that we live in. This mechanism in us that in a way would only stop or when it recognizes it's the nature of itself and realize that there isn't any need for all of these fights and efforts. Or when it hits a wall, when it completely brings itself to destruction. So in a way, these two things are being completely pulled away. And now you'll probably experience so many times, like any athlete, of being in the zone, right? Being fully in the moment.
Yep.
There is action. There is peak performance in the most beautiful and absolute way, but there is no unnecessary effort. Or there isn't an experience of effort at all. But it doesn't mean that we are not operating at our full. So often, in a way, again, the egoic perspective, or we can call it dualistic perspective, will be very fearful of that. Because if I don't do all of this effort here, then I'm nothing. And nothing will ever happen. And then I will maybe sit on the couch and eat ice cream all the time. But in a way, it's the other way around. It opens up way better opportunities to operate on much higher levels in a more sustainable way without driving yourself to exhaustion.
And so to do that, do you think it's just, I guess maybe I'm just speaking from my own personal experience. How does one let go just be more present in an easier version? Like I understand, you know, meditation, and maybe just meditation practices that you can, encourage, people to try. And we spoke in our previous, podcast about meditation practices and gratitude and stuff like that. But, maybe do you have any ideas of like how you can kind of let go and just be a little bit easier? And I'm speaking mainly for myself, but I'm sure I'm not the only one who might think that way.
So in a way, I don't play the same game where so at times, even though I'm a certified mindfulness meditation teacher, I have a lot of conversations with the approach of it. And that's very depending. There are many different approaches even within that. I don't see it as a tool to be more present. There isn't any tool to be more present. And nothing has ever happened beyond being present.
Okay.
So I start there. And if we start from, it's like, I'll try to train you right now how it is to be, how tall are you?
I'm 5'6".
You're 5'6". I'll train you to be a kayaker that's 6'5", 250 pounds.
Okay.
So trying to train that part of you will lead to nowhere because it's not an existing thing.
Right.
So I want to start with the truth of ourselves.
Mm.
And from that place, we say, you know what? The only thing that is ever present is present and is being present. And there is nothing that can come into it or go out of it.
Mm.
What makes us perceive or experience like we are not? And let's start to remove those layers. Let's start to peel them slowly. the only thing that is ever experienced is being present. If that doesn't seem to happen, let's start to remove all of the things in the way. We're doing some kind of body therapy. We are not adding anything to be more of a body, right? When you work with a masseuse or a body work, they work to dissolve all of these knots that make the body not function well, right? Very, very gently, some of them are a bit harder. So if we start from that, let's remove everything that is not. So the first place is to develop the recognition that my true nature is ever present. And how do I do that it can be meditation or self-inquiry into that aspect of ourself. Again, away from what I experience into the question of who is experiencing or who am I. Many great teachers over the history inquired and guided people about the question, who am I? And then said that the only question anyone ever need to ask is, who am I? So through that, we start to develop the recognition and a lot of the veil starting to dissolve. Now, that doesn't mean meditation is not good. It's great practices. Like, if I know the nature of myself, it's not that I stop going to the gym. So where I see also misunderstanding is that is completely unnecessary if you know who you are, recognize. And that's not true, because there is mind and body to be trained, and that can be elevated and perform better and have much greater well-being if we train it. So same with the mind. What is beyond? So first, there is a perception to dissolve or to correct the thing that we are not present. Second, what are other things that get in our perception or that make the mind turbulent enough that it can't recognize that it's present? Endless. Not forgiving someone, so we can do loving kindness and forgiveness meditations, into just having a nervous system that is very stressed and tight. So there are meditations into calming the nervous system, to bring the body into alignment with recognizing who we are. Compassion, healing meditations, there are not only meditations, there are body practices, and there's coaching. So there are many. And again, at times I will pull from, but this is where it's becoming very individual, right? Because what you might need over the next few months is, and what you think is the problem is actually, maybe there's something in you that just judges the world a lot,
right?
Or yourself, or hasn't forgiven to something or to someone. Mm-hmm. And when that will be released, the experience of being present will be really different. And then you wouldn't need to do all of this hard work into training the mind into it, because the mind is also kind of a symptom of many other conditions that come with it. So to recognize what it really sits on, is where it becomes helpful to have a guide or teacher, coach, call it whatever you want, that can help us recognize the cause to our symptoms, which if the symptom is not present, so let's recognize what the cause of it. The cause of it can be perception, or the cause of it can be a stress response or trauma that we haven't worked through yet.
And I'm again thinking a little bit of like back to your basketball career, and how you said that maybe you wish you knew a little bit more of this when you were in professional basketball, trying to be more in the present. Again, it sounds so simple, but many of the simple things in life I find are simple, but not always easy. And so I'm trying to think of like in the experience of like, you've got a free throw shot and you're on the free throw line, you know, you're going for the shot. How do you kind of be in the moment and live in the now and just kind of like, let go and exist but also still, like, you're still trying to nail that shot. You're trying for the, you know, the ball to get in the basket, but trying also not to force it. Do you know what I mean? Does that make any sense? Like, I'm just trying to, again, implement more of this into, like, you know, into something that might be a little bit more relatable or something like that.
Yeah.
And not that, you know, pro basketball is relatable to everybody. Not that everybody's a pro basketball player, but at least they understand the concept of the free throw and kind of in the moment and having to take the shot.
Yeah. It's a response to a moment, right? So right now, this is a good example, but really it's a response to a moment. Where we do it in an inefficient way, or with unnecessary effort, is in a moment like that, when we get stressed or the mind starting to speak, we try to debate with it now. No, I'm great. I'm confident. I'm a winner. I've been to the special forces. That's nothing. You know, it's like there's a fight back to that thing. It makes us feel maybe good with ourselves a little bit and think we are strong and capable, but it doesn't really do much. So we can ask why the experience of being stressed or lack of confidence in a situation like that, why does it arise? The question of why some kind of internal experience is becoming present is 99% of the time is conditioning. There's some kind of judgment on that situation, which in this case, judgment is not it's good or bad. It's if the outcome is different than what I wanted, then all of this will happen. And now there's a continuity in commentary about how this one thing will determine the rest of existence. And second, because of conditioning, even of the bodies, that since a young age, if we often face hard situations, so people tell us, "Nah, that will be okay." And so if you're afraid, don't do it, and that's fine. And, you know, there isn't cultivation of go into the fear, go into the experience, throw yourself in it. Mm-hmm. So there's some kind of backup. And because we always think that we are, that whatever action we do is the thing that will determine so much of any future outcome. So a lot of stress just is being present in a moment like that. But if we, so again, it's more the removal of the conditioning and the perception of what this situation is. Because if I don't give it any extra weight, then throwing the free throw in practice, it doesn't matter much. Right? So it's all a result of conditioning and commentary that the mind always does, but the commentary about events is really unnecessary to our living experience. But most of us only experience the commentary that the mind generates and not the experience itself.
So essentially, we would remove a lot of that stress or self-doubt or anxiety or even just the lack of being present if we just removed the thought of what the outcome is or could be. Or any of that, if we just remove the outcome and just that kind of almost like leaves us with whatever is left in the moment. And so instead of thinking like, oh, I have to sink this shot because we'll win the game, you're just thinking, oh, I'm just going to take the shot because that's the moment that I'm in right now. And I've got the basketball and the net's right there. So I'm just going to throw the ball and it is what it is. And hopefully my practice, that I've put in enables the ball to get into the basket. And if the practice wasn't there, then maybe I should go back and practice more. But it's kind of just from my understanding, maybe, or hopefully my understanding, is that removing the outcome kind of helps leave us with the moment a little bit.
Yeah. So if we'll take it deeper into the, again, where I'm trying to guide people into the very recognition of the nature of ourselves, which is not bound to anything. So it's not as much removing the thought, or the thought will not be removed until the agency of the thinking is being removed. That part of identity that we hold is the conditioning that generating thoughts that are stressful and judging and comparison based. If we get it again, take it to a social aspect for a moment, separate from other human beings or other or the environment. So so what we do in an efficient way is that same agency, that the thing that has agency over thoughts generates them. So we will call it the me, or the character that we think we are, and then it generates more thoughts to counter the other thoughts. But what is being removed from the inquiry about the nature of ourselves is the agency of thoughts, or agency of experience altogether. Because there is a clear recognition that there isn't the character or the agency that thing that is generating all of it is illusory at its nature. It doesn't exist. Where does it exist? In the commentary that's being produced. But it doesn't hint into who we are. So as long as that is not fully seen through, we cannot really remove any of the other thing. We cannot even begin into the journey of our potential, really. And any other way will just treat the symptom. Because stress, separated, fear, the self lack of self-worth, exhaustion, all of these are just symptoms of misunderstanding of the nature of ourselves.
So am I, again, I feel like I get one step forward in understanding and sometimes two steps back. So am I understanding correctly then, almost like, have you ever seen the movie The Matrix?
Yes, it's a great documentary.
Yeah, it is. And so in the start when Neo, I think, just first gets into The Matrix and I forget who he's fighting, but there he's learning martial arts, and his opponent, his teacher mentor, tells him, stop trying to hit me and hit me already. And is that kind of the same thing where like you have to remove the experiential part of it by trying or thinking or any of that, and you're removing that and you're just being, and so therefore instead of like trying to throw the free throw or trying to experience that or anything, you're just being, and in being you kind of just do the free throw. Is am I kind of getting closer here, or am I still like one step back a little bit?
You definitely get closer to that. Where I think some of the being present is misunderstood is that we think it's an action, it's a verb. Just be present. To be present. Being present isn't an action, it's the nature of our existence. There is nothing we can do about it. Again, if you go and try to find one human being I'm not present. In a moment, tell them, go and be not present right now.
Yeah.
But if we train people to be present, we must clarify first that there is a possibility not to be. And if there is, because you say, I believe there is a possibility for me not to be present, show it to me.
Right. Now,
what would the person do?
Would not being present, and again, I'm just brainstorming here more than anything, would not being present, could that be living in the future, or like dreaming of something, or trying to reflect on the past? Would that maybe not be in the present, or is that different?
From the point of view of the character that we perceive ourselves to be, the derives its illusory independent existence from commentary about reality? Yes. So it will think, there are thoughts about a future, and then there is someone who's, there is another thought. These are my thoughts, and I'm always thinking about the future. But even that experience is happening to a present being experience. So the what we say when I'm not present is just the existence of thoughts. But let's remove the context or the meaning of thoughts. Okay, let's completely remove if the thoughts are I'm present, I'm future, I'm something, I'm human being, I'm a tree. Let's remove right now what it's saying. Let's just say there are thoughts. Okay? Like I look at a window right now without trying to say what it is or what's there, or just let's say that there's thoughts are coming into our experience. How does that determine that we are not present?
Right, it doesn't. It just is, right?
Okay. So the thing that now think, because thoughts are present, I am not. So I will go and try to do something about being present. How can it ever find a solution?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it doesn't. I guess it's just
right.
It just it is, cannot. Right?
Exactly. So same. Let's connect it now to high performance, rather sports or a business, any field, and you know, it's not only high performance. It's the most intimate and sought after experience desire of any living being on any human being on this planet.
Right, right.
We can as much call it fulfillment, feeling wholesomeness, right? Feeling complete. We can call it in many names. In the same way that we go and seek being present, and that thing that seeks being present will never find any way to be present, because it's only seeking it, not recognizing that it is who it is. Same with fulfillment, with success, with joy, freedom, love, all of these are just other names, really, that are experienced when we know the nature of ourselves. And where to what future time we would go in order to find it? So in this characteristic that we developed inside ourselves, that thing that is something to do in order to be present or fulfilled or successful, in how it perceives reality, there is always an experience that is missing. It's always seeking an experience that seems to be missing. But what it is missing is the experience that seems to be missing is the only experience that is ever present. And because it is ever present and is so present all the time, it's so easy to dismiss. It's so easy to overlook. Because we can't point to it. This is where the mind can't understand it. But so what the mind always, if we call it the mind, always seeking is something that is always present. And then
Gilad, I feel like you have spent a lot of time thinking about this, and I wonder how much of this, I wonder how much of this whether you get more in tune with this the more time you spent actually thinking about this or meditating upon this. Because the more that I contemplating it, the more that I even question whether I even have it right to begin with. Do you know what I mean? And whether I fully truly understand it to begin with. And so I feel like this is amazing, and just the idea of being present is something that I clearly need a lot of work with. And I'm almost wondering whether we do like a continuation of this podcast the further along through before like the World Championships or something, and see if I can get more and more present within athletics or just my everyday life or anything like that. But I don't want to take up too much of your time, because I feel like if we spend this whole podcast just me trying to learn how to be present, it might be it could be a 10 hour podcast, yeah, or longer.
I said it 2 hours in. I didn't even notice that it went by so quick.
It's because you were very present.
I'll give you a little exercise, and maybe even to the listeners, mm-hmm, that I often give. It's maybe one of the few practices I give to most people. I make it very individual, but this is really flips how we look at things. So you say there's a lot of work to do into being present, and I want to reverse that for people. When someone come to me and say I want to be more present, and what practices should I do? And again, I want to be careful, because there are, and then meditation is a wonderful tool, but again, I don't want it to sit on the idea that you cannot not be present.
Right, right.
Instead of putting all of this effort into not being present over the next few weeks,
yep,
put the same efforts into not being present. See if you can take yourself outside the present.
Okay, okay.
That is very powerful, because when we try, we always get frustrated, because we are trying to accomplish something that is already here. So
yeah,
you know, go can you get closer to space? You can. Where would you go? You're always in it. You can't get closer or further away from it.
Right.
So same here. So I will tell you, try to get outside of space. Try to find a way that you can get yourself outside of present. And that's very quickly helping the mind recognize, well, it's not possible.
Right.
And then with that will come surrendering or letting go or just recognition. Wow, it's always been my experience, and I completely dismissed it.
Right. It's more like the acceptance. Yeah.
Acceptance will be the result of the mind recognizing, yeah, you know what, there is nothing I can do in order not to be present, and thus nothing I need to do in order to be present.
Right, right. Gilad, this has been truly insightful for myself. I gained so much from our conversations together, and I look very much forward to bringing you on yet again, because I feel like, I don't know, almost like I'm back in like kindergarten or grade one, where I'm just like a sponge trying to absorb everything, being like, wow, there's just so much that I'm either don't know or I'm not doing correctly. And so I love your insight on being present. I love your way of explaining that it's not an action, and that... And as soon as you said that, I was like, oh, it's so interesting, just that that thought process, that it's not a verb, that we just are, that it's not that it's something that we do. And then also that that instead of trying to be more present, it's like try to take away from maybe what's distracting from the from the present and just be. And so, again, I'm going to take all of this and try to implement this more into my daily practice, into my lifestyle, into my athletics. And I hope my listeners can try that as well. And we will have to bring you back on again and see maybe where we are at it all, and maybe the next steps as we further our way into, I don't even know, into enlightenment or even just presence and being. Again, Gilad, is being that I gained so much value out of these conversations, is there anything that you are currently focusing on that I might be able to help you out with, or possibly even my listeners?
I shared last time about the humane way. Mm-hmm. So this is my most important project at the moment, which is will eventually be a center for social, spiritual, and environmental unity. And where I come to it is from the beginning of that understanding of if we all recognize our true nature, then that into more and more people and in spaces, mm-hmm. we come into unity with one another, and then we cease the efforts to be or to fight over or thing like we said in sports, that there's a lot of unnecessary effort. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of unnecessary effort and fight over in many other spaces, unfortunately. So this is the main project right now. I would love to find time to talk to you about it at a different point, but thank you for letting me share it.
Yeah, please do so. I definitely would love to help out in any aspect that I can, and at minimum would love to just have a conversation with you to learn more about it and see, you know, how I might be able to help or again come up with any ideas or anything of that sort. So we will definitely have a conversation now, whether it be offline or what, but continue on with the humane way. Again, for all of my listeners out there, I hope you guys gain as much value as I did. I had an absolute blast getting to talk with you, Gilad, again. For my listeners, if you guys haven't checked out the first episode and interview, please go check it out, episode 190. And if you guys did get as much value as I did, please, if you guys could leave us a rating and review, or just simply share this with someone that you think might need to hear this conversation, might need to learn a little bit more about how to let go and be present in the moment. I've already asked your last time, your final question, what is your definition of awesome? If it hasn't, I guess before I ask it again, has it changed? Or is it still the same?
It will change.
It will change.
It will change. You know what? If I have a moment, do we have another moment?
Pardon? Yeah, we have another moment. Yeah.
Quite a few people recently asked me, I had to describe who I am, you know, and usually I don't like to do it even for the podcast and sending a bio and all of that. For me, it always feels some funny thing. But what I recognize through all of these questions, that like the present is always new. You said it yourself. The present is always new. You know, sometime earlier in this conversation, we are always new as well. Mm. So the answer to anything is always new, because it's being presented. Even it can be the same question. So even the question, "Who am I?" And then I in a way earlier in this professional journey, I had a lot of battles with it because I didn't want to define it in any way. Now I, only in the last year, I recognize, I think, why? Because there isn't a one answer to that. It has nothing to do with a history or a background. It's new, like we all are. So any question, I'm looping that, any question, the answer to any question is always new. Because if we bring it from any other place, we bring it from thoughts or a memory or something which has nothing to do with the present experience. So if you ask me again, I'll see what answer will come, but which it might be the same, but it must be always new. If we are intimate and present with the experience that is happening right now, it must always be new.
I love that answer. And it reminds me of the quote that no man ever steps in the same river twice, for it's not the same river and he's not the same man. That reminds me a lot of our conversations together. So thank you again so very much, Gilad, for your insight, for this time together. And I look very much forward to getting to speak with you again and continuing on this journey. And it's my turn to send you some books. So I'm going to send you one of my favorite books that I'm reading. So you can expect that in the mail. Again, thank you for all that you've done for me, for our listeners. And as always, I'm Nick Troutman signing off, wishing you all a truly awesome day. Cheers, everybody.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
So, you've got an idea for a business, the store of your dreams. There's just one thing to figure out, everything. That's why Shopify's all-in-one commerce platform makes it easy to sell online, in person, and everywhere else. Sell on social media, source products with an app to get that first sale feeling. It's the only solution that gives you everything you need to sell everywhere you want. So when you're ready to bring your idea to life, power it up with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/listen.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.